Well, let's go on here for meeting objections. This is just a very short presentation. Now we have made the appeal. And by the way, read, when you go out there, you will be very much benefited by also reading and rereading all these things over and over again, because there are new things that will get to you, and like the first time you read something, it doesn't really stick. But when you actually go out and do it, then you will find the value of some of these ideas. At least that's what my experience when I found them. So, when we made the appeal, a person is making an objection, and they're saying, "No, I cannot follow this because of da da da." And you have a little sheet here. This one, you see, it's really tiny, and that's because what you do with it is you put it in your Bible, and you can even glue it to your Bible, so that you have it there always in your Bible, and then whenever someone raises an objection, you just go there and you look at it and you find some of the Bible texts that you can use to meet this objection. So it's important. We always meet objections not with argument, but with the Word of God and with the promises of God. It is important to find out the objections that people have. Notice Gospel Workers, page 190. She says, many a laborer fails in his work because he does not come close to those who most need his help. With the Bible in hand, he should seek in a courteous manner, notice that, in a courteous manner, to learn the objections which exists in the minds of those who are beginning to inquire what is truth. Carefully and tenderly should he lead and educate them as pupils in a school. Okay, so what do we need to learn? And we need to learn to the objections. You understand? We need to learn the objections that exist in their minds. And how are we going to do that? Well, we need to ask them. So that's why we ask, what is keeping you? Because that will bring out the objection if they have one. If we just ask, do you want to follow the truth? They might say no. And then you don't really have anything else to say. But if you ask them, what would keep you? Is there anything that would keep you from doing this? Then they might say, well, yeah, there is... And then they'll bring up the objection of what is actually keeping them. So it's our duty to find out their objections. And how are we to do that? Well, this is a powerful quote. Early Writings, page 102. I saw that we must be prepared for objections, and with patient judgment and meekness, let them have their weight they deserve. Not throw them away or dispose of them by positive assertions and then bear down upon the objector and manifest a hard spirit toward him, but give the objections their weight. Then bring forth the light and the power of the truth and let it outweigh and remove the errors. Thus a good impression will be made and honest opposers will acknowledge that they have been deceived, and that commandment keepers are not what they have been represented to be. Isn't that powerful? So when people make objections, we don't argue with them, right? We've already learned. DNA, do not argue. But instead, we listen. And we let them have their true weight. So we say, aha, I understand. So... That's a very good point, you know. If it is so, For example, when you look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 16, like we looked at yesterday, and a person says, look, the Sabbath, we don't need to keep the Sabbath. I ask them, so, is that... I just say, yeah, I mean, in this text, what it seems to say to you is that, well, the Sabbath is no longer valid, and we don't need to keep it. Like, you give it their weight. Like, yeah, it's a good question. So what should we do? Not manifest a hard spirit, but we let it have the weight, and then we bring forth what the Bible has to say in power. And in this way, it will make a good impression upon the people. So some points in meeting objections. In Mark Finley's book, there is the FFF principle. The triple F principle. And it's feel, felt, and found. We might wonder, oh, what does that mean then? Well, when you meet an objection, you need to make them understand, you need to tell them that I understand how you feel. For example, if they say, I cannot keep the Sabbath because I am working on Saturday. So I say, I understand. That must be difficult for you. I understand how you feel about that. And then I say something to the effect of others, what others have felt. I tell them that, you know, many others in your present situation have felt exactly the same way. That's the felt. So I understand how you feel. People need to be understood. And then I said, other people have also felt the same way. But they have found. And that's the third F. They have found this to be the answer. Maybe they have found out that God's promises can be trusted. And that if He asks us to do something, He will also fulfill it. Perhaps you have stories to share. Please share those stories. Or you've heard of a story of someone that trusted God's promise and it was fulfilled. These kinds of things is what we bring up and tell people. And I was studying with a woman that was... she loved every bit of the study, everyone that we had. She was just amazed, and she was like, wow, this is so amazing, and thank you so much for giving these studies and taking the time with me, and I'm so happy about this. And she had made a decision to be baptized. She wanted to join the church. And then I did a mistake that I regret, but I gave her these baptismal vows. Like that paper, before we had gone through all of the points with her. So she was reading these for herself, and she's finding out these things that she doesn't agree with yet, because we haven't studied about it yet. And one thing was with Ellen White, and also some other aspects, like tithing, she was opposed to. And she didn't understand that. She was like, why is this? And she texted me one point in time. It was just 20 minutes before we were going to have a baptismal class. And then she said, you know, I'm not going to join it because I cannot agree with the baptismal vows. But I'll get baptized some other time maybe, but not now. And so my friend that was with me, she was really very... horrified by this, and she was like, no, but we worked so hard for this person, and was almost crying, and was very sad. But we need to have faith as Bible workers. We need to believe that God is going to, we need to understand that there is a great controversy going on, and we should expect these kinds of things, these kinds of objections. So I texted her, I wrote her, and I told her that, you know, I understand that you don't, if you don't want to, or I actually said, I didn't say I understand then, I just said that, well, okay, so was there anything in particular that you were objecting to? And then she told me, Yeah, Ellen White and tithing. These things I cannot agree with. And then I texted her. I was praying for wisdom. God, please help me to know what to say, because I don't know what to say. And then I texted her again, and I said that, so I understand that it's this question of Ellen White is very it's very controversial, and I would feel the same way if I was in your position. These things that we have not been able to study them yet, you know. I was telling her that, and I understand that when you hear them. I mean, Jesus warned against false prophets, didn't he? So I would be skeptical if I heard about somebody being a prophet. That's very understandable. So I was writing that to her, and then I told her, you know, I actually had the same questions before I got baptized. And this is my own experience. Before I got baptized, I found one of these websites that had lots of criticism against Ellen White. And I had printed this website, and I had handed it over to my pastor that was doing the baptismal preparations, and I told him that, well, if I can get answers to these, I'll get baptized. And the pastor went home, and they studied for a week, and then it was the pastor's wife that was sitting with me, and then we went through all of these arguments, one by one, and they all cleared to me, and I told her that, needless to say, I got baptized, because I found out that these critics, they were not being honest one bit. They would just distort things and twist things that Ellen White never even said, and just in order to make her look bad. And so I got disgusted with that, and I said, I believe that this is true. And so I shared this story with her. So that's the I felt the same way, and then I found this, you know? This is the three F's. I found this to be true. And then I asked her, if you would be interested, we can meet and I can share with you what I found. And she said, okay, that sounds very interesting. I would like to know. And so we met together. We studied this, praise God. And she accepted it. And she was so happy. And she said afterwards, well, you know what, maybe I'll rejoin this baptismal class again. Mm-hmm. And we were so happy. We were able to meet the objections that she had, and then move on. So this is a very important thing to be able to do, as we are Bible workers. Some of the points of how to meet an objection then. Listen to the objection. Show the person you understand their objection. Make sure they have an objection and not an excuse. Now, how do we find out about that? Well, an excuse, well, you can find out that if it is an excuse by asking this question. If this issue is cleared up, would you then see your way clear to accept Christ or be baptized or keep the Sabbath? You know, before you answer the objection, you can say, oh, so is this the only objection you have? Is that what would keep you? And if you would have this answered, you would actually go through with the decision. For example, if somebody says, I'm working on Sabbath, and I said, okay, so if that object was cleared out of the way, would you keep the Sabbath then? And if they say, yeah, I would do that. All right, let's look at what the Bible has to say about this. If they say, no, well, that's not only, there's also some other things that I don't want to. So then you might suspect that they're actually just making excuses. And if they're making excuses, there's no point in trying to answer all of their excuses, because there'll be new ones coming up all the time. So there's something else in their heart that's keeping them from making the decision. And then we just need to pray for God's wisdom. Perhaps we need to, you know, give this release time for them. And then we get back to the subject later on. Is this the only thing holding you back? He can ask. Well, then it is. Show the person that you understand their objection. How can you do that? Well, you can repeat the objection in your own words. So if this person was telling me that, oh, you know, tithing, I can't accept tithing, and then so I ask her, so yeah, I understand. So if I understand you correctly, that means that you are, you feel that it is a too big sacrifice for you to give 10% of your income to God. And if they say yeah, that's the thing. And or if you have some other thing, maybe it's about tithing, and they say, well, I can't afford to do it because I have a family to feed. And so then it's like, okay, so I understand. If I understand you correctly, it's that you can't afford it, and you're having questions about how to meet or how to make ends meet. And if they answer that, then you can show what the Bible has to say about that. Another thing you can do is to pray about it together. You know, if they've said that, yeah, that's actually my objection, and before you just open the Bible text, you know, then it might feel like that you're just trying to beat them down. Like, oh, I'll show you, sinner, that what the Bible says. But instead, you'll be like, oh, I understand what you're saying. Why don't we ask the Lord for wisdom about this? And then you pray right there and then with them. And you pray, Lord, please help us to find the solution to this question. Find the answer to this question. And then you say, amen. And then you can go to the Bible text and you can show what the Bible says. It makes a very good impression, because then they realize that it's not you trying to prove them wrong, but it's actually we're together. We're asking the Lord, please help us. Please show what your will is. Meet objections with a short answer from the Bible, and then ask if it is now clear. So don't make big, elaborate answers. Try to keep them as short as possible, one text or something like that. And then ask them, like, did that clear things out for you? Or do you have other questions about it? And if they have other questions, you meet that with some simple text, and you go on. And then challenge them to test God's promises. This is powerful. I was in Sweden for a visit once, and I met a friend there, and he was struggling with his finances. And I was trying to encourage him with the promises of God's word. And then I told him that, well, you can, or he was actually objecting to me then. And he was saying, well, you know, that's only for those people that pay tithe. And then I realized, aha, so the Holy Spirit is convicting him. He's not been paying tithe, and that's why he's also feeling this way. So I was thinking, okay, so have you tested God's promise? And then we read Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, that test me in these things and see if I will not open the windows of heaven. And I told him some testimonies of my mother, and of how she only had the tithe left of her money, and she had children to feed, but she decided to send them away. And then through the mail, she just received the exact amount of money. This happened two times to her, that she had sent away for tithing. And I shared these stories, and this man, I told him, I challenged him, please test the promises of God and see if he will not do it. Then I went home to Finland, and some week went by, and then I felt impressed, strongly impressed, that I need to share, I should send some money to this person. And I just I didn't think about it so much more. And then I got impressed again a few days later, and I said, you need to send money to this person. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, maybe I will. But then I forgot about it. The third time it came again, you need to send money to this person. And I was like, okay, now I can't resist this anymore. And I told my wife, you know, We should, I feel impressed that we should send money to this person. And she was saying, well, that's very coincidental because I just read in Proverbs that if you give your money to the poor, you will be richly blessed. Or if you give your bread to the poor, you'll be richly blessed, or something like that. And I was thinking, wow, this is providential. Now we know it's from God. And so I wrote to him and I told him that God commands us to send money to you, so please send your bank account information so we can obey him. And he calls me from Sweden, right, just an hour later, and he's totally beside himself. He's like, "You have no idea what just happened." And he said, "God did this amazing miracle just yesterday night. At 12 o'clock, my salary came into my account. And I don't have a big salary. I have a child to feed. I have a rent to pay. I have all these kinds of things. And everything, I didn't know how to survive if I were to pay tithe. But I told the Lord, you know, Lord, I'm going to test your promise. This time I'm going to do it right. As soon as I get it, I will pay the tithe, not just for this day, for this month, but also for things that I have not done in the past." And I said, "I don't know how I will survive, but Lord, I will test your promise." And the next day, I received this email from you. And he was like, "How can you be so slow to trust in the promises of God?" Amen. He was just overwhelmed by this. And God is true to his promises. He's really, if we dare to test them, to test his promises. And another man that I was studying with, he was convicted about the Sabbath. But he was working on Sabbaths. And I challenged him. Like, he didn't really want to commit to actually keeping the Sabbath right there and then. And then I challenged him, but why don't you test God's promise? Why don't you test and see? Because God will only, he will make it possible for you to do it if you're just willing. So if you have problems with this work, then ask God to work it out. And this man, he took it to heart, and he was saying, "Okay, I will ask him to do it." And he was praying that, "God, if you, it's your will that I should keep the Sabbath, then make sure I don't have to work these last three Sabbaths that I have left of the work." And on the first Sabbath, they always had to work. They had always worked every Sabbath previously until then. But then on this, these three last ones, the first one, then he was working on a farm where they take the, you know, the coats from the foxes, fox farms. I don't know if you have such things there. But at least that was what he was, the skin, yeah. And then they had to vaccinate the foxes the first Sabbath. So therefore no one could work during that time. And then the second Sabbath, they had some funeral or something that happened. So everybody was off on that Sabbath also. And then the third Sabbath, they had worked already so much the previous week that they didn't have to do any work on Sabbath. And so he was so happy about this, that God actually provided a way out, that he made it easy for him to keep the Sabbath. And I think we can do that to people. We can challenge them. We can trust God and say, just try it. See if it won't work. So that's it. Now, any questions about this? Otherwise, we are going to divide up into groups, two by two. And one person is the objector, and the other person is the one who is making the appeal. So all these things that you've learned here, you're going to put into practice.